With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
One is Mark and John's the other, they're just friends, they are not lovers. It's two old queens, they're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens, it's two old queens. Now shut up.
Hello!
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I am so excited about our guest this week. Please tell everybody who it is.
I will. He's an actor, and I would say bon vivant. You know, I'm from 30 Rock and Community, and a returning guest, it's Jeff Hiller.
Yay.
Why would you say bon vivant?
Why not? It's not bad. You just told a great story bon before vivant, we started.
But isn't a bon vivant someone who is independently wealthy and doesn't have to work?
Yeah. You live in New York City. You're fine. It's also a restaurant in Atwater. That I've never been to.
It is.
Oh, I've been there. It's good.
Yeah, is it? It's good.
I've been there with you.
Yeah, we've been there together. Mm-hmm. It's not far from where I live.
Sorry, the pointing is weird because I guess everybody's on a different screen.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
if you're a bon vivant, for $5 extra, you can get like a THC shot in your tea. I totally recommend it for like an afternoon. Great.
Is that legal?
Yeah, it's California.
You know, I took CBD and it doesn't work on me. Like really? Someone had CBD pills and nothing. I felt nothing.
What is CBD specifically supposed to do?
It's like tea. It's like marijuana, but without the hallucinogen.
So what effect. Is it?
Just like
so
relax,
without the getting
you know?
High part.
Well, yeah,
and
but
you didn't
you're
relax.
Supposed to relax your body. I just didn't
it's
feel.
It's supposed
any
to be like yeah, like a soothing thing.
Yeah, like moms love CBD. You get it at the mall now.
I take it.
Do you feel it?
Are I'm you soaking it right in now? It right now.
I just held up like gross brown hands, like liquid all over my hands.
Jeff, what do you do? What is helping you, if you are sane, what is helping you stay sane or get on the path to sanity these days?
Look, I'm a real downer. I'm not having a good time right now. Times are rough. I'm like severely depressed.
Sure. You are wearing a black t-shirt.
It's actually navy, but thank you.
Oh, you are depressed.
I know. I can't even do the black. Just give me the navy. That's what I say to my valise because I'm a bon vivant.
You're a bon vivant?
Yeah.
What have I been doing? I want to have like a funny answer, but I don't have one.
You can just be real, Jeff.
Yeah. Okay. I run. I've been running.
You run.
That's very healthy. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Do you wear a mask when you run?
Yeah, I wear a gaiter. They call it a gaiter.
What's a gaiter?
What does that mean?
It's like, It's like an infinity scarf that's smaller and made out of like spandex. And so it's like round, it's like a tube, and you just put it over your head and then you put it up over your nose.
Oh, I see.
And it's easier to breathe through because the fabric is a little thinner. Because all of my masks, all of my cloth masks, oh, it's too thick. You can't breathe. You get hyperventilating. Mm-hmm.
That's great, running.
That's great, running. That's a very healthy way to deal with stress. I'm just smoking a lot of pot.
I also drink at night.
Who doesn't drink at night? That's what nighttime's for.
Okay. Well, I'm healthy then. What are you all doing?
What am I doing? I read. I'm reading Lonesome Dove right now.
Wow.
500 pages in. Play video games, watch movies, you know, go on walks. We went to the Arboretum last weekend.
Oh, I went on a hike 2 days ago.
That's great.
In upstate New York. Wow. And I'm reading too.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
we're all reading.
What are you reading?
Oh, I
besides
do have a book
the
to recommend. I have a book to recommend. Well, first, I'm not even reading The Room. Who, there's no one here. Who am I going to read? My cat? I'm going to read this microphone. Oh, boy. Yeti? More like J. Paul Getty.
Got him.
We can edit this out, so don't worry.
Okay. Well, anyway, I read, and this is a good book, The Extraordinary Life of August March by Aaron Jackson. It's a very good book. It's written by
Aaron's great.
Someone I know. But I'm currently reading Sissy by Jacob Tobiah. I think that's how you say
it. Can you recommend?
I do. I really do.
It's not a celebrity bio.
It is a little bit. I mean,
is it?
They're not especially a celebrity, I suppose. Like, I think the most famous thing they've done is write this
book
memoir. But it's a memoir.
Gotcha.
So a little bit. And I did read my next one that I'm reading. Oh, I have Julie Andrews and Carly Simon. I've already read one Carly Simon, but the next Carly Simon is about Carly Simon's relationship with Jackie Kennedy. And
there's
then
a whole book just on that.
Yeah, girl.
She found a way to slice it. Everyone's talking about the Jessica Simpson memoir.
I
supposed
saw
to be
that
great.
We walked to. I know. I don't trust it, but I should. She's not old enough for me yet, even though I think she's like my age.
Would you write a memoir?
What does
have
she
you considered
have to
it?
Say?
Well, I would write a memoir if something more exciting happened, but not yet.
Sure. There's going to be so many bad, like, COVID quarantine, like, fiction or, like, memoirs out of this.
I have been writing. Have you guys been writing?
Yeah.
Nothing quarantine related.
No.
There's going to be a lot of, like, bad quarantine art, like COVID-19 art, definitely.
Do you guys feel like sometimes you say just COVID and sometimes, like when I say COVID-19, I always feel a little bit embarrassed. Like,
well, when someone says COVID, I'm always like, what are you talking about? And then they said COVID-19. I was like, now I got it.
Now I'm grounded.
Yeah.
I know. Well, I had COVID and I was like so worried, but it turns out it was COVID-9. So it was fine.
Oh, that's nothing.
I mean, COVID, such a cute name too. It could be like for a baby.
Oh.
Wait till she turns 19. She's legal.
I never know how to say if I say like Corona or COVID, because like my husband had it. So I'm always like, Neil had Corona. Neil had COVID-19. That feels wrong. Neil had COVID.
He had the other big C.
I know. So then I just say, Neil had it.
People are like, say no more.
Yeah.
So you're in a good place is what I'm hearing.
The Rona.
The Rona.
Yeah. Anyway, let's discuss this comedy.
Well, that's as good a transition as any, I suppose.
It sure is.
This is our month of Queen's Choice. This is where John and I pick the movies. Mm-hmm. John picked Clue. John, what's the deal with Clue?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with Clue. Clue came out in 1985. It's a murder mystery based on the board game of the same name, maybe known as Cluedo if you're in the United Kingdom. The film was directed by Jonathan Lynn, who collaborated on the script with John Landis. It tells the story of six guests who are anonymously invited to a strange mansion for dinner. But after their host is killed, they must cooperate with the staff to identify the murderer as the bodies pile up. It stars Eileen Brennan, Tim Curry, Madeline Kahn, Christopher Lloyd, Michael McKean, Martin Mull, Leslie Ann Warren, Colin Camp, and Lee Ving as Mr. Body. The theatrical release included three different endings, with different theaters receiving different ones of the endings. But in the home video release, all three of the endings were included. The film did very poorly at the box office, grossing only $14.6 million against a budget of $15 million, but it has developed a considerable cult following. And that is the deal with Clue.
Well, John,
this movie was $15 million.
It's all up there on the screen, baby.
Yeah.
John, you were tasked with picking a movie and you picked Clue. Why Clue?
Well, as listeners of this podcast who listened to our previous episode will remember and know, we had an email from a listener, Celia, who said, "Hey, why has no one done Clue?" And I thought, you know what? She's got a point. Clue is a great movie. Other people have thought about it. So I was like, you know what? I didn't have any other ideas. So I went, Celia, I'm picking Clue. And Celia, I want to say thank you because I think this was a great choice. Clue is a movie. I'm one of, among the millions of people who has seen Clue countless times, caught it so many times, like in the afternoon. Like, it's funny. Like, Clue's one of those movies I've seen a million times. I've seen the first 10 minutes of it maybe five times. But sure. I have seen it a ton and ton of times. And it was a delight to watch it again. And in fact, watching it again, I was like, oh, in a weird way, this almost feels like it was retrofitted to be good for our system. Cause there's, it's such a weird smorgasbord of a movie that so many categories it actually will do well in a way that a lot of movies sort of just don't have something. But it is a movie that I love dearly. I can quote endlessly. I have watched millions of times, and watching it again last night, even though I hadn't seen it in a while, I was completely delighted and happy to watch it again.
Well, there's nothing funnier than hearing someone quote a movie. Jeff, yep. What's your history with Clue?
I'm like John, where I have seen it a lot, but I probably haven't seen it for 15 years. But I saw it all the time in my childhood. Like, whenever we would have free HBO, you know, like, you know how they'd like have weekends where yes. they were free HBO? That would always be on. And then my next door neighbor, Aaron, this was like one of the first things he recorded on the VHS, and we would watch it all the time, and we would laugh. And now that the things that I remember laughing at, I'm like, God, that's not even slightly funny. If anything, it's a little disturbing. But sure. There were all these things that I watched today. I was like, good, that's good. That's a good beat. Oh, I see.
Oh,
that's the callback. Oh, I see. Okay, this is a physical moment. They really made a choice here.
So it was very clinical.
Yeah, well, I'm in a dark place. I don't know what to tell you.
You know what? That's fine.
How about you, Mark? What is your history with the movie Clue?
Well, I think I mentioned last week that this my parents let me rent a VCR for one of my birthdays because mm-hmm. we had HBO. So they're always like, "Why do you need a VCR? We have HBO."
Even though
my family was the opposite, we got the VCR.
Ugh. So you didn't need HBO.
So I remember I've seen it a million times. I feel like I've seen it at least once or twice a year. I remember being a kid and seeing the newspaper listings for it, and it would say ending A, ending B, ending C in the paper. So you knew which ending you were going to get, and that was I always thought that was fun.
Sure.
But I think it's a great, fun, it's as good as an adaptation of a board game as any right to
That's
be.
That's true. Is there a better one? How many board game movies are there?
Battleship? Terrible.
Battleship was garbage. I think
garbage.
That's it. Is there a Candyland? I'm sure someone's working on a Candyland somewhere.
I think they're working on, and there's Ridley Scott for a time was working on a Monopoly movie, which
I was
going
to say, wasn't there a Monopoly thing happening?
Yeah, they were working on it. But is anyone in the mood to see Monopoly in this day and age?
No. Mm-hmm.
No. Tax them, Mr. Money.
There must be another one. We must be missing some.
If only there was some way to find
Parcheesi,
out.
Parcheesi, the movie somewhere. Hungry, Hungry Hippos.
So I love Clue. So, Jeff,
so wait, when
yes,
I was going to say I also saw it when it came out in theaters. The version I saw it, I think, three times in movie theaters. But I was silly enough, dumb enough to go to the same movie theater thinking that the ending would be different, but it was always the movie theater I went to always had the Miss Scarlet ending. When you saw it in theaters, Do you remember which ending you had?
I don't think I ever saw it in theaters.
Oh, okay.
Me neither.
Right, cool.
I only saw it on TV.
I'm the oldest. Go ahead.
You guess? I think we know that for a fact. All right.
That felt so good. Let's do that again.
Wait a minute.
Jeff, as you know, because you've done this before, we are looking for the gayest movie ever. And we have a very complex and Byzantine scoring system with don't sneer at me during my
what
spiel.
What are you talking about?
Shut up. So we have a bunch of categories with which to judge the movie. Then we're going to go through these categories. At some point, we all together will add a category, and it could become
canon.
Perfect.
Wow, I was on that before John was.
Thank you. It's the training. The training comes through.
Wow.
Here is our current top five, Jeff. And I should note, well, I'll do the top five and then tell you where your previous movie is now. At number five with 76.52%, Funny Girl. Number four with 78.59%, Bradley Cooper's A Star Is Born. Number three with 78.63%, Strictly Ballroom. Number two with 79.51%, Grease 2. And the number one gayest movie ever at 94.83%, Female Trouble. Now, I should say, Jeff, you brought in February, Showgirls. That was on our old scoring system, so it currently has a rank of 60.55% and is 22nd on the gayest movie ever.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
I think sometime in the future, we're going to revisit some of these older movies with the new system.
You know what? All I care about is the stupid Muppets Take Manhattan isn't the winner anymore. That's
that is
all
15
I care about.
Right now.
That is number 15 now.
So
the fact that that's gayer than Showgirls is insane.
Where do you guys think Clue's going to land?
I think except for the sexual part of Homosexual, it's a very gay movie. So I think it's going to do well.
But give me a number.
I'll say in the top 10.
Top 10.
I think I don't care.
Fair enough.
Perfect.
Perfectly rational.
Jeff Hiller with a lot of skin in the game. Here we go.
All right, Jeff, our first category. This is something you're passionate about.
I'm sorry. I'm in a bad place.
No. Got it. God. Maybe if you keep mentioning it, it'll make it better.
Thank you. That's my plan.
Okay, good. Our first category, homoeroticism. So on a scale of 0 to 100, how homoerotic is Clue?
I mean,
it's really nothing.
I can't think of a thing. Even Michael McKean saying he's homosexual, which by the way, that part is like burned in my brain. Is that burned in your brains too? Like that he would say, I'm gay, I'm a homosexual.
Yeah.
And
right.
Like I remember watching that and being like.
And not being like bawling after he says it.
Right. Well, I was just like, oh no, is everybody else hearing this? You know what I mean?
Like there was something transgressive about it.
Yeah, and then at the end, anyway, spoiler alert, but then at the end, I was like, oh, your Ooh. Wife. Okay, I can't give it
There's
much.
Not a lot, but here's what I'll say. Mr. Green does show the cop the dining room, the kitchen, the ballroom, and like goes on that little tour. There's something a little bit like cruisy about that, I think.
Oh, I had one thing.
Even a house tour?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With
I
a had
cop?
One thing.
Hell
which...
yeah. Yeah.
Which was something I never noticed before tonight when I rewatched it tonight, mm-hmm. which is when, you know, when they're like putting the cook on the couch and then they put Mr. Body on the couch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When they put him on the couch, they like toss his body there and his butt is just up.
Yep.
And I forget who it is, if it's Plum or
Professor Plum,
whoever. I don't know who it is, but they're like pushing him and his face is really close to his butt and his butt is like, it's a lovely butt. It's a juicy round butt mm-hmm. that the pants hang off of in a way that says, you're welcome.
You could maybe get in here. Yeah.
So how does
oh
that
my God. What's happening to me?
I think it's great. I think it's beautiful. I think you should keep going with it.
Leaving is a handsome man. I
he is.
Like,
yeah, there's something like sexy in a sort of like Guido kind of way about
trade.
Him. Yes, like Long Island trade kind of way.
But Long Island trade.
Can we agree, like, not a great actor, right?
No.
Well, I mean, no, but that's okay.
Of course not. But also, like, look who he's like, up against. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, everyone's going to look like shit compared to that cast. It's stacked.
Right, that cast is stacked. You're right. Okay, for homoeroticism, I'll give it a 11.
11.
I'm going to give it a 35.
35, based on showing based a cop on, what a house looks like.
Exactly, yeah. And that leaving ass, I like that. I like a man in a butler uniform or a cop uniform.
Do you?
There's some stuff
you like a
there.
Man in a cop uniform. Wade, talk about reading the room, John. Defund
like
the police, you
want to
de-pants the police.
Exactly. You're welcome.
I do not. I didn't. I'm going to give it a 7. I did not think it was actually very homoerotic at all. But that's not why we're watching Clue. And honestly, like, the women completely overshadow the men in this movie.
Profoundly.
The 100%. Women and Tim Curry, I feel like.
Yes.
And then I kind of forget everyone else.
I know. So
they're
true.
All good.
By the way, I read something on IMDb today, trivia. You probably read it too.
Love it.
That originally Miss Scarlet was cast as Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
And she went into rehab and they were like, the insurance company wouldn't bond her.
Her rehab was like, okay, you can leave for this amount of time and all this stuff. The only problem was the insurance on the movie. They're like, no, it's too risky.
And that is like what Postcards from the Edge is all about.
Oh.
That's why she has to live with her mom.
Out of rehab. This was Eileen Brennan's first movie out of rehab.
And she said that she and Madeline Kahn used to be really good friends, but she said they weren't friends on that movie and they never really talked after that because she felt like Madeline Kahn couldn't handle talking about her rehab.
You know, Madeline Kahn's a comedian. She probably got a lot of walls up.
She had a lot of demons. I went to the same college as Madeline Kahn, not at the same time, but you know, I've heard a lot of stories.
Do you have one?
Not really. Just that she was like very neurotic.
She was a storyteller?
Yeah. Well, not on a podcast. Later.
Oh, I
mean, a few drinks, I'll tell you everything.
Okay. All right, our next category, controversial. On a scale of 0 to 100, how would you rate the actual gay characters in Clue?
Oh, well, there are none, right?
There are
well,
none.
Well, it depends. So, like, the alternate endings. Yes, hold on. The alternate endings, in the third one, Mr. Green says, oh, I'm actually an FBI agent, and then he mentions that he's going to go home and sleep with his wife. But if you ending A or B, that is not revealed.
Counterpoint, so, you're still wrong, because the title card before the ending says, but here's how it really happened. So the final ending where he goes home to his wife is the true ending. So that's in reality, he is not gay.
Also, I felt like when Tim Curry is like, telling everyone what their things are, and he stands up and says, I'm going to say it first, I'm a homosexual. Tim Curry looks surprised as if to say, like, that's not what I'm bribing you about.
Right. But he never contradicts him later.
No. But I think when I was watching it tonight, I was like, oh, yeah. See, he's not gay.
This is the second time Michael McKean has played gay in Best in Show.
Right. Well, this was the first time.
First time.
Yeah.
So are there any other gay characters? I don't think so.
I mean, do we think the cook is gay? Do we think, I bet Yvette was gay for pay. I mean, she did work. I'm sure she would do it. We don't know about the motorists. We don't know about the cop. We don't know about the singing telegram person. Howard Hessman?
Sure.
Possibly. Those cops.
Well, we know that
the
singing telegram had sex with her male therapist.
That's true. But maybe because she was like, I think I like women. And he was like, well, let's find out.
Wow. This is. Okay.
Are you counting fan fiction at this point?
I mean, yeah, think about it. You got to consider
this
it.
This is based
it's
on
like
nothing,
100
though.
Different points here. You got to give it some.
Do you? Well, so what would you give it, Jeff, for actual gay characters?
I don't like to give 0. 3.
3. Tough but fair.
I'm going to give it 20. I think 20. Mr. Green, there's something going on there. And also, like, even though whoever Michael McKean's actual character's name is, he is playing a gay person in the context of the movie out of one of the six main characters. So, yeah.
I'm going to give it a zero because I don't believe there are any actual. Given it an average of 7.67, which is 1 point higher than Armageddon. Hey. All right. Next category on a scale of 0 to 100. How campy is Clue?
Wait, I thought in Armageddon they really were. There were gay people and they revealed it in the sequel.
There's no sequel to Armageddon.
Oh, what's that movie where Brent Spiner in the
Independence Day?
Oh, sorry.
Which is like 3 years before.
Wow. I'm sorry, Mark. They all are the same to me.
Fair enough. Independence Day was directed by a gay man, though, Roland Emmerich, who also made that terrible Stonewall movie.
That was bad.
Right.
But then he funds really Outfest, so, you know, everyone contains multitudes. You know,
it's a seesaw.
Jeff, do you consider Clue campy?
Oh, yeah. Come on. The flames! Come on. That is not normal. That is very heightened, okay?
Everything Eileen Brennan does.
Eileen Brennan, come on.
All of the women are complete camp. Colleen Camp. Literally, that is her name.
Got to give some points for that.
You got to give just for that.
I actually thought of that when I was watching it, and I can't believe I didn't say it first.
The Colleen Camp factor on this movie is 100.
That's true.
I think it is super campy. It is like, I think Clue's interesting in the fact that I think we all do love the movie, but I think we all recognize it's this weird sort of like, it doesn't fully gel in that it's this combination of like a murder mystery, and it's very like sort of like Three Stooges, very like slapsticky on top of that, and farce.
It's totally farce. It's so physical.
I've never seen it, but is this what Noises On is like? Noises Off?
Noises Off.
Oh my God.
I've never seen it. But this is what I imagine Noises Off is like.
It has similar.
Noises Off
style,
is more.
It's more sort of
historically farcical. It's like slamming doors more. Mm-hmm. Then this is more like running around.
Well, it's a movie.
Right.
Well, and farce is like, oh, I confused you for this.
Right,
thought that this was happening with that. And this is more just like, I guess you could say it's a farce.
It's the same, but it's, yeah. But like they don't always match well. They don't always mesh well. Like there's some moments that are great, but I feel like Clue also has tonal moments where you're just like, okay, I guess we're having that joke now. Or like it's this weird, uneasy sometimes marriage of like this murder mystery, which wants to build tension and keep heightening it, and a comedy which wants to release tension, like build and release. And so like it doesn't always work, but the moments that do work are so great. And I think that's part of like the camp act. Like, and watching again this time, it felt like they were like, every actor was like, here's the idea I want to pitch. And they were like, okay, sure, find it. Like, try it. Like, I feel like, especially the group scenes when there's a lot, like five or six people like in a shot, you almost have to watch it five or six times to just focus on each actor because they're all so good and so smart that they're just like filling the moments of weird, ridiculous, specific things that are happening. Like, in the second version, the second ending where Miss Peacock is the killer. There's a scene where like Mrs. Peacock has got Tim Curry at gunpoint, and Michael McKean, because he has one line of like that I think it's like, but what about the police? They'll be here any minute. He has to like enter the shot because of that, but he like enters from the back like he's just come out of the bathroom. And if you just watch him, he's giving you like a three-act play of like, oh, what's happening? Oh, this is crazy, and getting into the shot. And it's like great. And like every single one of them, if you look at a scene where there's like four or five different people in it, even though Madeline Kahn's not the main person, she's doing very interesting, funny, specific choices. Same with every single one of them across the board.
So you're saying the actors are acting when the camera's on them?
Yeah, but they bring that stagedness about them of like, oh, the camera's always on me, so I always have to be doing something.
Fucking asshole.
Yeah. Isn't this fun? And I think like they're all very much aware of that, and I think that's why
they're
this movie
incredible.
Is so part of the fun campiness of it.
I do think the mystery, like I do think this is like an extraordinary, like well shot movie. Like I think like the mystery stuff works because I think
absolutely.
Like it is really
it's
well
at times legitimately shot. Scary and suspenseful.
Why it wouldn't go that far?
I think so.
Well, I think it worked because like I like that none of the characters really care about the people who are dying. Like no one's really invested in the burner. Like,
well,
like,
that's what's so camp too is that they take no. Like every time they handle the body, they do a joke about how they just toss the body under the ground.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I have a list of things I noticed that were campy. In Clue, here we go. Based on a board game, fake lightning, slurping your soup, describing yourself as a hostess, French maids, wearing fur is meant to look like the height of luxury, but it's actually really garish, being disgusted by a socialist, Madeleine Kahn, having an all-star cast, a gay guy turning down a chance to be alone with a sexy French maid, Mrs. Peacock's disgust, a game room, those shower caps that cops put on their hats in the rain, Madeleine Kahn, secret passages, physical comedy, a singing telegram, the complete lack of a reaction to the maid and cop's death, a scene where someone explains how a murder happened, a singing telegram girl's tragic past, Madeleine Kahn's harmonies on For She's a Jolly Good Fellow, the flames on the side of my space speech by Madeleine Kahn, which is sadly only in one of the endings. So if you saw those other twos, you didn't get it.
Didn't get it.
That's like one of the icon, the like top three moments from this movie, probably.
Absolutely.
I have to tell you though, and John, you can back me up on this, like not comedians like that we know, but like theater people.
Yeah.
They think like a like shortcut to being funny is just doing the speech from Madeleine Kahn. Like
exactly.
And they
here's
do
the
it
thing too.
All the time.
No. And they always add an extra beat that they've invented that they think is as funny as the monologue, and no. It never is.
No. It's not even that much of a monologue. It's like two sentences, really. But I think it's like weighs so heavily in the culture.
Yeah.
I think also something that's so campy is that scene where they like pretend that they're all just making out with literal bodies. Dead bodies.
Yes.
It's so twisted.
That was one of my favorite scenes as a kid.
It's like a John Waters movie or something. Like and when Madeleine Kahn is, she's literally kissing him. Like the camera is such that you wouldn't need to actually kiss him, but she has her lips on him and he is like bleeding onto her, and it's just like waka waka, right, making out with a corpse. How would they hold the cook's eyes open? Yes, so bizarre.
So, Jeff, if you had to give a number, and you do, to the camp factor of Clue, what would you give it?
I got to go big. I got to go 100. I'm
100.
Sorry.
You've never seen anything campier.
I'm going 100 as well. I think it's 100. Like it's up there. It's as campy as it needs to be.
Yeah. For some reason, the fact that is, I don't know, to me it's not the campiest thing I've ever seen because it is like already a comedy in a way.
Sure.
So in some ways, I don't know, I'm going to give it a 90 for camp. Give an average of 96.67. All right, next category. Over the top wardrobe. How would you rate the wardrobe?
Yeah, come on.
This has got to be big. First of all, as I was watching it, I was like, because I was thinking when I was watching this movie, I was like, God, this is the like dream movie to be as an actor in. Because like, if you're like the cook or I guess Yvette was sort of like a star at the time, but like, one of the other people, like you get to be there on set a long time because it's only one set. You get to be on a movie studio, like it's all on lot. So it's like you don't have to stress about like people being loud outside or like being in a trailer. Like you have just a dressing room. It's like so civilized.
Yeah.
And like you have one costume. So they are going to make it less Haney because they got one. So you know that green dress on Leslie Ann Warren was fitted within an inch
of its life. Yeah.
I mean, the fact that they gave her the cloak for just that opening scene, they're like,
yes,
do something big because they don't have anything else to do because it's all on one night.
Right.
And none of the characters are wearing the colors that they are, but their cars are all the colors that, you know, they were all like, thinking about that. Like, oh no.
But also that moment where like Mrs. White and then they open up that coat and it's that like very like bold white. Like I remember gasping the first time I saw that. Like that's exciting.
That's why when you came out, your parents were not surprised.
They were like, finally.
The gas.
We've known this since 1985 when you clutched your pearls multiple times while watching Clue.
The fact but that you have pearls.
Exactly. They went with the
outfit. I was like, it was opening night to Clue. Of course I was wearing my pearls.
I was wearing a Chanel suit. What would I wear? Diamonds? Jesus. But I did think about Mrs. White, like her wig was not high quality.
No, that was definitely out of the bag.
Yeah, I was like, really?
From the Kiss of the Spider-Woman collection before the fact.
No one's mentioned Miss Peacock's hat.
Well, we haven't gotten to it yet. The everything she wears. Her dress looks like Christmas wrapping paper.
Her eyeglasses.
Her eyeglasses. Her that wig, which is made of, not wig, that hat, which is made of pen hair feathers, something like that. Ridiculous.
It's made of peahen feathers.
Peahen, thank you.
And then also Colleen Camp's boobs are really in your face.
Yeah, her whole outfit, the French maid outfit. I think even the like, Telegram person.
The seam on her stockings and the cop with the shower cap.
Yeah,
shower cap cop. So, Jeff, if you had to give this a number for Over the Top Wardrobe, and you do, what would it be?
96.
96.
I'm going to go 97.
97. We did. There are those four ladies, but then like the men are kind of like phoned. Like there's nothing really great on the rest of the movie, so I can't. So I have to give it a 60.
I don't know. I think the men sort of have fun suits,
but it's nothing like, over
not,
the top about.
They're
that,
not Riddler
the
quality,
wearing.
But they're sort of somewhere between like actual suits and Batman villain. There's something.
I think
a
the fact that Professor
it.
Plum has elbow
patches,
like things. That feels. Over the top.
Given an average of 84.33. All right, next category, drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch Clue and come away with a whole book of ideas?
If you think somebody hadn't done Mrs. White in drag, you're a damn fool.
I think or Miss Scarlet or Miss Peacock. Or Yvette. Yeah. All of
oh,
them.
Oh, Yvette.
I mean, you could do all the characters from Clue because their names evoke a color. There's a they tell you who they are, Professor Plum, Colonel Must. They tell you like who they are, their role in society as well.
But I believe specifically there has been more than one drag queen who has done the Mrs. White monologue in an outfit that looks like Mrs. White.
Oh, yeah. And then it turns into like fireworks.
Burst on fire.
Katy Perry or something. But it's, there's little dialogue snippets here and there.
It turns into the most cliche drag queen song in the world.
Yeah, that's a drag show.
There you go.
I mean, I'd probably watch the fuck out of it.
Absolutely.
I'm going to give it, 95.
95.
I'll go 95 as well.
95. I gotta go 75 because I do think it's hampered by there's really only the three or four looks. There's not like because it is all on one night, you know. So I think that maybe hurts that score, but it gets an average of 88.33. Nothing to sneeze at. That's more than Ginger Snaps. All right, our next category on a scale of 0 to 100. How likely are you to recommend this to gay people?
God, 100. I mean, I can't even, I don't even know what to discuss about this. 100. First of all, I don't know a gay person who hasn't already seen it. I would be like,
right.
What?
I do feel like when I was growing up, it was on HBO all the time. I feel like that's how I saw it. It just was on TV all the time.
Yeah.
Same.
It's one of those. Yeah, I would 100%.
This
I was
and Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes.
Which is my favorite movie of all time, which is what I almost brought in. Should have. Anyway, go ahead.
I'll also give it 100. If I was talking to a gay person, they're like, I've never seen Clue, I'd be like, you have to watch it. You 100% have to go
Clue.
Watch this movie.
I agree with you. I will also give it 100. Giving it 100. So it's tied with Female Trouble, and that's about it. Okay.
There you go.
I mean, if a gay person hasn't seen Female Trouble, tisk tisk.
They're probably under 30.
Oh, touche.
All right, the next category. The male gaze. On a scale of 0 to 100, how horny is the camera for the male form?
So interesting to see which categories you saved. I mean, I really can only think of that. But, well, I will tell you this. Several of the male actors, I was like, oh, you're... Because I'm used to seeing so many of them, like, much older now.
On Roseanne.
Right.
And I was like, oh, Michael McKean, you're kind of foxy. Like,
Tim Curry is definitely sexy in this movie.
Tim Curry?
Yeah.
Christopher Lloyd, I was like, okay, he could get it.
I think leaving as Mr. Body has like a little like, all right.
He's leaving a lot to the imagination, would you say?
No.
I will say that butt shot, I was like, I'm noticing this.
Mm-hmm.
25.
I'll
give it 35.
35. I'll give it 20. It's like mostly wide shots and group scenes. There's not a lot of highlighting of the male form, but it's fun. All right, next category. Entrances with pizzazz.
I mean, I'm thinking of the singing telegram girl. Come on.
That's true.
But I think most people, when they show up for the first time in the mansion, there's that big bell. It's a whole big deal of them coming in.
Oh, yeah. Every single one gets them.
Mrs. White Miss has Scarlet, that big reveal.
Even Miss Scarlet, before she makes it to the house, has a big entrance where she like lifts up her leg.
And leg to.
My favorite entrances are the murder weapons. Like those are, that's a real moment when they reveal. When I was a kid, I thought that was so, because we used to play the game all the time. So we thought it was so cool when like that moment of. Mm-hmm.
I remember being
revealed.
A kid and being like, oh, a black box with a purple ribbon. Right. How chic. It's Which, of course, gorgeous. It's like so macabre. But I just thought it was so beautiful.
Would you love to get a black box with a purple ribbon?
To this day. But
I've
I will
never
say,
open it.
Today, I was like, that black boxes look a little shabby, but
box
whatever.
Technology's production come a long way.
That's I know. True.
Also, when they like open that refrigerator and a body sort of falls out, that's sort of like a big pizzazz.
That's so true. And a vet has a big entrance because she's you, like see her through the window dancing. Mm-hmm. And Tim Curry has that whole thing with the dogs. God, I think every single character has a huge entrance.
The mansion itself gets a nice
Yeah, the
entrance.
Mansion has a huge entrance.
The reveal.
Mm-hmm. Holy shit, I'm going to give it 100.
100.
I'll give it a 99.
I'm going to give it an 80, because I do think some of those character ones are a little perfunctory. Like, it's like, oh, and here's so-and-so. Not everyone.
Also, like, the road, the guy who's the motorist.
The motorist. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, they, every time they come in, the doorbell rings, and they all go,
Yeah, that's so funny.
It's big.
Mm-hmm. All right. Our next category on a scale of 0 to 100. How would you rate the dramatic lighting?
I feel like I need you all to go first on this.
Sure.
Like
I think there's a ton
person.
Of this because there's like, it's like there's a moments where it's like they turn off the lights and someone gets shot and then they turn the lights back on or like the power goes out in the building. All that's super dramatic.
Oh, and there is that light, that one point when like, everybody's getting murdered and they show everyone in a key light.
Yep, there's that part. Right.
Everyone's listening to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, what was that noise?
Somebody was
and then
screaming.
Like when they walk through the secret passageway, that's very like dramatic and dark, or like when Mr. Body's trying to escape in the weird greenhouse room. Like there's a ton of dramatic lighting throughout this movie.
Okay.
A lot, and just a lot of like dramatic moments of like the lights going out. Like it's they're almost like plot points dramatic. It's not even just like, oh, well lit. It's like the
but
lights
I do think
changing has something to do with the drama.
I do think, though, 75% of this movie does just look like studio comedy. You know, it does look like a studio set, overlit, you know, no light sources.
Well,
but there
if
are
you
those
want to get
moments.
Really, if you want to get really technical, there is a dramatic moment with lighting when the chandelier falls.
That's true.
Yes,
that is
there's
the most
that.
Dramatic light.
There's a lot of
it's only it was
like,
on.
There's a lot on. Of like lightning and dramatic lightning effects and stuff like that.
I'm gonna give it a 70.
70. You're pretty.
I'm
sure
gonna
of
go,
yourself with that.
I'm gonna go 90. I think like lighting has a lot to do with the plot and story and the drama of the movie.
I'm going to give it a 67, giving an average of 75.67, which is 0.67 points higher than Female Trouble.
Oh, my God. I'm so much closer to Mark than I am to John. What the hell is happening?
You're coming to your senses, coming out of the dark. Our next category.
Into some dramatic lighting.
I want to see how they do the bus accident in the that Gloria Estefan musical. Is it like the chandelier in Phantom?
No,
like the act one break.
Where the hell did this come from?
Isn't she saying coming out of the dark? Is that
oh,
her
I don't
song?
Know.
Anyways, speaking of Gloria Estefan, Strident Women. Who would you rate this on Strident Women?
Well. I think all of the women in this movie, except for the singing telegram girl, are strident in various ways.
For yes. sure. Even the cook.
Mm-hmm.
Even that cook.
He I mean, she doesn't have many knife. Lines, but she still is like, she makes her presence known.
Mm-hmm.
They're all pretty great. I always think like, I would love to be Miss White, but I'm Mrs. Peacock.
Oh my God, you really are.
I just love her anxiety of like, well, I got to fill up a silence. I'll keep talking while I eat this soup. Mm-hmm. And that's just the funniest thing to me.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm the cook.
So what would you get this for strident women? All the women are pretty strident, I would say.
Yeah, I'm going to say 92.
92.
I'll say 94.
94. I'll split the difference and do 93. Give an average of 93.
Oh my God, I'm the lowest? Oh my
God. Wow. Because you hate film. All right, the next category. Macabre. How macabre is Clue?
It's really macabre.
I already said that it was macabre when they get... I mean, like...
It's a murder mystery.
The bodies.
It's a murder mystery.
The treatment of the bodies.
Yep.
I also... I said it was macabre, like a black gift with a purple ribbon. Yes. I do think that is like a macabre way to wrap
it. Like something Tim Burton would give you.
Exactly. You know? And then you open it up and it's a murder weapon. Although, like, if you opened up the wrench, wouldn't you be like, what is this? Right? Tools? Like, you wouldn't... Yeah. You guys like, no. Like, you get the knife, you're like, I get it. But or the noose.
Yeah, some
the
of them are a little bit like, uh-huh.
The news seems like, oh, this seems like a lot of work.
The candlestick, I'd be like, oh, great, I'm going to take this home.
Cool. Les Mis.
Gorgeous.
Exactly.
For my piano.
I think also them just eating monkeys' brains, which, like, when you know that's what they're eating, it looks like they just put frosting and like mayonnaise on cauliflower and said, this is what monkey brains looks like.
Fair enough.
But right. That is macabre.
And also, when Mrs. Scarlet's husband, second husband, was decapitated and had his genitals removed. And then they search a spooky mansion. There's taxidermy, making out with dead people, blackmail, spooky mansion.
Whenever
on
they say,
night.
You go ahead of me and I'll be right behind you. And they're like, that's what I'm afraid of. That's kind of macabre.
Pretty macabre.
It's very macabre.
98.
One of the grimmest movies
98.
You've ever seen.
98 as well.
98. I go 89 because it's the overall.
First of all.
Yes.
You just made this huge case for why it was so macabre. I give you a big score and you're like, that's the most grim movie you've ever.
Welcome to doing a podcast with Mark Rennie.
Yeah, I react. I'm going to give it 89. Give an average of 95. Pretty macabre.
I react. I react.
I react and you love it. The next category, wigs. How would you rate the wigs in Clue? Oof. Is it just Miss White?
We got Madeline Kahn's. I think Colleen Camp and Eileen Brennan definitely have pieces added to their hair. I think they both have such specific hairdos that have like a lot of volume to them that I think stuff has been added.
I would say that's true for Colleen Camp. I don't know if that's true for Eileen Brennan because it's actually mainly her hat.
That hat's doing a lot of heavy lifting.
There's a lot of hair there. I also just want to give some shout out to Leslie Warren's hair in and of itself because it's a very like specific mid-80s I just gave a blowjob styling to it. Like it's just like just messy enough.
There's
something very
tossle?
Specific. Yeah, exactly. It's probably not a wig, but it's a specific hair look.
It's so not 50s.
Exactly.
Too.
I feel like it's funny. Like most period pieces are betrayed by the hairstyles.
Thank you. Right. Someone's finally saying it.
Like that's how you can tell if you look at the hair how it's styled or like even makeup that will tell you really when the movie was made as opposed to like
well and
when
Russell Crowe and Gladiators got that Clooney cut
exactly
Caesar what's her the singing telegram girl might have a wig
she's wearing actually. A hat though for the most part
she has a pillbox hat
yeah but she has a big but in front of the hat she has a big old thing of hair
that's true.
And she was from the Go-Go's?
Jane Wideland from the Go-Go's.
Yep. Mm-hmm. The rhythm guitarist.
It's like not even something I really understand what that means. I don't know, 50.
50.
I'm going to go 70.
70. I'm going to go 40 because it's just Madeline Conrad. That, to me, that's like the iconic wig and everything else is kind of average. All right, going to make up a lot of points here. Quips. How quippy is Clue? I mean, it's almost all quips.
It's exclusively quips.
Exclusively quips.
How can you joke at a time like this? It's my defense mechanism.
Dinner wasn't that bad.
To make a long story short.
Too late.
Thank you. Mark was sipping.
I was sipping. I was just going to sit back and be entertained by the reciting of the big clips from Clue. I can't speak.
You know what? I don't have to worry about ever being like, you gave a different score to a different movie and it was way quippier and blah, blah, blah. So I'm just going to go 100.
100.
I'm going to go 96.
96. Why not 100?
I don't know. Just because there's, I don't know. Just to give it a little space.
Fair enough. Give it some space. I'm going to give it 100. I can't think of a quippier movie. I mean, this is what I think of when I think of quips. Given an average of 98.67. All right, the next category, vibrato. How would you rate the vibrato in Clue?
So, of course, we, as always, we mean not just literal vibrato, but anytime they give you something extra and a moment is sort of given more zhuzh to it.
I mean, there's a lot of zhuzh. Like,
there's tons
the whole
of zhuzh.
Explanation with the running, which I read in the trivia that Eileen Brennan, like, that was the hardest part of it because she had just gotten up. She was addicted to pain meds after she had had this, like, a car, like, ran her off the road. And so she was, like, in all of this pain, and she was just running around. And she was like, Jesus, can we not run everywhere? I mean, it's so extra. Like,
everything. Like, well, Madeline Kahn's
boobs.
That breasts are legit, are just inherently vibrato.
The performances.
But Madeline Kahn's, yeah. Her, like, for He's a Jolly Good Fellow, that harmony she sings.
Literal vibrato.
That is insane. Eileen Brennan's glasses are vibrato. Madeline Kahn's veil that she has in the very beginning of the movie. And also, like,
how all of them push what, like, together, yes. Like when they go through a hallway, they don't want to go behind each other and they just push, which is like so ridiculous and cartoonish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a heightened tone every moment to the entire they're just sort of dude extra. Yeah.
So, Jeff, what would you give this for vibrato?
98.
Giving you somewhere
I was
to go.
98 as well.
Sure, why not? 98's across the board.
Yeah.
All right, the next category, the last of the canon categories, footwork. What would you rate the footwork?
It actually is a lot of footwork.
There's a ton of it. And there's so much physical comedy in this movie as well. Like, there's, like, that moment where they're, like, everyone's running back to, like, the hallway, and then the people, and then it's, like, who is it? It's Yvette, Mr. Green, Wadsworth, and Madeline Kahn, like, all run into each other and just, like
oh, my God. Yeah. When I watched that, I was like, how the hell did they do that? Because you see the full shot. You see them land, and they're not landing on a mat.
I think it was stuntmen.
Mm-hmm. There's also that moment where there was, like, 11 stunt people on this movie. When Madeline Kahn is talking about, and she says, like, his head was cut off, and she goes, and his, you know, and then they cut to the three men sitting on the sofa, and they all cross their legs.
Right.
There's also, like, the scene in the opening, moment. Leslie Ann Warren, Larry kicks up her heel to hitchhike.
And when they're smelling the dog shit, they all pick up their feet and look at their feet. And I kept thinking, like, because Madeline Kahn and Colin Camp were both wearing black stockings with black heels. And when they picked up their legs looked so delicate when they picked up their legs to look at for dog
They're
shit.
They're just wisps of a thing.
A strong wind will blow them away.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to give it a 98.
98.
I'm going to give it a 99.
99. I'll give it an 80. Give it an average.
Why? Why so little?
Well, just because it's mostly running. I think, like, when I think of, I need, like, a choreographed dance number, I think, to really, like, take it over
there. There's,
that,
like,
to that
tons
next.
Of, like, choreographed, like, weird, like, Three Stooges routines constantly throughout this movie.
Yeah. All right, fine. 90.
Okay.
Happy? 90?
Yes.
Will that shut you up?
Oh, my God. You lobbied and won.
It can happen. I also contain multitudes, given an average of 95.67, which is more than Face Off. All right, so now we are into the wheel categories.
I stand by it.
These are categories that are neither bonus nor canon. For instance, you might find Waiting in the Wings on the wheel category, which was brought to you by Jeff Hiller on his Showgirls episode.
Flashback.
Are there any flash? I don't think there are any flash. Well,
there are a ton
at the end.
Yes.
I had to think about
it. Yes, when he's going, here's what happened. They killed this person. And they go to so many shots of people killing
people. Right.
They're
just flashbacks
the whole
of the
last
same night.
The third of the movie is just tons of flashbacks.
That's true.
89.
I'll give it a 90.
90. I'll give it a 90. Give an average of 89.67, which is almost 20 points more than Scott Pilgrim versus the World got in flashbacks.
There you go.
Wheel category number two.
Gay icon.
Well, Madeline Kahn.
Come on.
Madeline Kahn.
Eileen Brennan.
I think we could say Tim Curry.
All of the women.
Tim Curry for sure. Rocky
Leslie
Horror?
Ann Warren in yes. the, she, I mean, she's not like a top shelf gay icon, but this in Victor Victoria.
Have you seen Come Color on. Of Night, where she's in like a support group? It's like a sex psychological thriller with like Bruce Willis. It's awful, but she is doing the most
oh, yeah.
in this like people in recovery scenes.
Yeah,
it's worth watching just for that.
Definitely.
89.
I'm gonna go 90 again.
90. I will also go 90. All right, wheel category.
How many
number
wheel
two.
Categories are
27.
There?
27. No, there's four. No, only four.
Oh, here we go. Breath acting.
Breath acting.
There's a ton in this. After Mrs. Peacock drinks the wine and someone goes, maybe he was poisoned. She has a monologue of screaming where she's just going, and she's running around that room. Right. And then Mr. Green has to smack her and go, well, I had to stop her screaming. You've got that. Yvette screams a whole bunch.
I still don't know about screaming as breath acting, because that's not.
What do you not know about that?
Well, I just feel like breath acting is more. It's quieter. It's more like contained. It's like screaming.
Well,
is
I think
screaming
it contains multitude.
Me.
Acting is not just one emotion. It's lots of different
but
things.
But breath acting.
It's using your breath for acting. Yeah, yeah. I think screaming is a part of that. And I also think that moment when Yvette gets killed, when she's like, she has that weird like, no one saw me. This and that.
Right.
And she
that
has an accent that she doesn't
acting.
Have at either at any other point in the movie. She's
now
got
that's
that.
Breath acting. That's what I said in the theater. People told me.
Let's get Mono on the phone to really define this.
Nobody. We still don't know. It's been almost a year.
Seventy-five.
I'm going 97.
97.
There's so much screaming. There's so much just like just using your voice in a way and just using your breath in a way that I think is ideal for
use
this category.
In your voice?
Excuse
what?
Me?
That's
when you've had too much
that.
Dairy. I'm going to give it a 40.
40?
I said what I said. I don't agree that screaming is breath acting.
All right. Final wheel category. Shattered glass. There is a ton of shattered glass.
Shattered glass? There's a
the
ton of shattered glass.
Windows. Madeline Kahn smashes her wine glass at some point.
People are dropping glasses all the time. There's that when Leslie Ann Warren is in the ballroom and she thinks somebody's behind the curtain and she opens it and there's just a broken window.
Right.
I'm going to give it a full 83.
A full 83.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not a half.
There's also a shot when Leslie Ann Warren goes behind the drape and you see broken glass, but we never see it be shattered. But there
is
a true. Pane of shattered glass.
That's what I just said. Mm-hmm.
Did you mention that? Well, I'm sorry.
In the ballroom.
He did.
Listen, I got to navigate this and the Zoom and an Excel sheet. There's a lot going
There's
on
so much
over
Zoom
here.
Navigation happening.
I'm all tabbing left and right.
I'll give it a 95.
95. I mean, they freeze frame on the one chandelier of behind poor Martin Mull.
Oh, you're right. Okay, can I change mine? It should be 90.
Okay, 90. I'll give it 92.
Oh, I should go higher. Oh, well. What do I care? It's not my movie.
Give an average of 92.33. All right, now the time has come to add a category.
So I had a thought for this.
Yes.
I think melodramatic monologue. I feel like so many characters in this movie have a moment where they talk about like, you know, like Tim Curry talks about him and his wife, or, you know, Martin Mull talks about like, you know, everyone sort of has these moments where they like reveal their thing and there's very melodramatic. It feels very sort of like soap opera-y in a way that I feel like is very gay that we don't have represented in other categories.
Correct.
So I think this is one that like I think will help with a movie, like will work for other movies, but I think also works very well for this one. What do you guys think of that?
That works for me.
Me too. I'm going to give it a 97.
97.
I'm going to give it 100. I feel like every character has a moment where they're like, this is what happened to me. This is how I came to my life and why I'm here. I think it's like a great example of it. Like there were monologues from this. I was like, oh, these would be fun to just start doing in auditions. Like I'm going to do Mr. Green's coming out monologue from Clue. Or, you know, I think there's just so much there that you could do.
I'm going to give it a 95. All right. We are now into the bonus categories. So this, instead of 0 to 100 points, we're going to give it 0 to 5% for each one. Then the movie is not penalized for not scoring high on these. These are just added to the already points they've already accumulated. So the first category, makeover montage.
They wear the same thing the whole time.
I don't think there is.
I think if we consider, like, I know who the murderer is, and he sort of runs through the whole movie and says, here's this, here's this, here's that, and it's sort of like,
but that happens all in real time.
Yeah, but he does like a montage of the whole night.
It feels more like a flashback to me than a montage.
But they don't actually go anywhere.
I know. It just doesn't seem like a montage to me. Jeff, can you settle montaging. This?
So I say
montaging. 0 to 5.
1.
Yeah, 1. I'll give it a 1 as well.
I will also give it a 1. All right, next category. Angry phone hangups.
Well, there's the one
there's
where
a couple.
They put the pipe when they're killing the cop.
Lead pipe.
They put the lead pipe on the phone. And
there's a thing I noticed in this move that they don't do anymore, where like objects will just like fly off a shelf, or like things just like break. You know what I mean? It's like a trope that used to be like big. You know, like when the candlestick's on the shelf and it just falls off on its own.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's like a trope that used to be very popular, but now it doesn't happen anymore. Just a thing I noticed.
Okay. Oh. So do you think the candlestick falling on is like an angry phone hang up?
No, it's just something I noticed. I didn't know when else to mention it. I just wanted to make sure that was mentioned.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say.
But there's two times where someone is on the phone and then someone hangs up and then kills them.
Right.
The motorist and the cop.
So I'll give it 3%.
3.
3 sounds good to me.
I'll give it 2. Give it a 2.67. All right, next category. Titular theme song.
Oh, Clue. Everybody's Clue.
I wish. This does seem ripe for a musical. Has there never... There has been a Clue musical, but I don't know.
No, it was
about
just a play. It wasn't a musical. Oh. I was actually offered a role for it in it.
Wow, which part?
I was offered the role. I thought when they offered it to me, I was like, of course they're offering me the homosexual. And then I looked and it was actually Professor Plum.
You'd be a great Professor Plum. You'd be great.
I didn't take
it. You could totally sleep with your clients.
I'm sure they probably do a different take on what the character games are, I would think.
Or no.
Is it pretty direct?
I guess
from the
movie? But if you're making if you're making a musical, I actually think it would not make a. The challenge of making Clue a musical is that it is a farce, and there's certain energy and pace that demands that does not always fit well with musicals and what that demands. And so I think that would be tough to sort of like add songs into it because the energy and the pacing of it. And I think when most people think of Clue, if you were going to see a musical of Clue, you would think it was based on the movie. You wouldn't be like, oh, based on the board game. So like to abandon those characters or those iconic moments in your musical would be like, people would be like, I guess.
Would you say The Drowsy Chaperone is like a farcical musical?
Somewhat, but it has
farcy.
But it's more like there's too much farcy. Sentimentality in it that farcy. Doesn't work with farce.
And it's not as slamming doorsy as.
Mm. Yeah. I think the closest to like a farce musical is A Funny Thing Happened Away to the Forum.
Most Happy Fella? No, not Most Happy
Fella. I've never seen Most Happy Fella.
Not Most Happy Fella. What's the one I'm thinking of?
It's like, isn't that a big like operetta?
Not Little Me. Not
Little Abner? Little Me is sort of, it's sort of more broad sketch comedy than farce, I would say.
Yentl?
Ugh, farce.
All the Slamming Doors.
People in Disguise.
Papa, can you hear me slam?
Not On the Other Side of the Room.
I'm Amy Irving. Slam.
But they break the fourth wall. I love where they break the fourth wall.
What do you say? Well, that's so farce.
It's so farce. This is so farce of Babs. Jeff, what are you going to give this titular theme song?
I guess 0, right?
I think Shake, Rattle, and Roll like feels like when you hear that song, you think of Clue. So even though it's not like the theme song, I think it does have that sort of... attachment where
see,
hearing that song makes you think of the thing
with Clue.
Me okay. too. I totally. You know what? I was thinking it played when they were all arriving, and I was like, "What happened to Shaboom? Shaboom?"
The making out
when they're making out with dead people. You know what? I'm going to give it a 1% for that. I'm changing
a 1.
I'm going to give it a 2.
2. I'm going to give it a 1 for Shaboom. All right, next category: fun fonts.
I think there's a lot of fun opening fonts. Credits. Those title cards.
The title cards are great. The end credits are great.
Mm-hmm. When they're on the playing cards.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you love to have a deck those framed in your home?
Ugh.
No. I don't think
you
I
wouldn't
want
to think of Eileen Brennan as Mrs. Peacock in your house
on my wall. I like if it was just her
in the bathroom,
but I wouldn't
in the bathroom.
Want all of them. I would
you
like,
put it in the bathroom or the kitchen.
That's like a theme for the bathroom.
Yeah,
a clue themed bathroom.
I guess I would want one, like, but I don't think I would want Mrs. White because it's a little too on the nose. I think I would.
Thank you.
I think Mrs. Peacock is the one I would want.
It's the inspired choice.
She's a good one.
Yeah.
You zig when they're going to.
I wouldn't mind a calling camp in the kitchen.
Yeah.
No. One is a maid to remind you, up, got to scrub the sink.
This is her. Are you guys listening to You Must Remember This right now about Polly Platt and
of
Peter Bogdanovich?
Of course, Polly Platt. It's so great.
It's mm-hmm. so great. Well, she, you know, had an affair with Peter Bogdanovich right before he left. He broke up with her right when he went with Dorothy Stratton with Colin Camp. What was it?
So for fun fonts.
Sorry. I'm so tired.
Come on, we're getting through this.
3%.
Three.
I'll give it a 4.
4. I will also give it a 4. I think it's pretty fun. All right, next category. Cheerworthy cameos. Well, when I was a kid growing up, it was all about Jane Wyland. We were like, Go-Go's were huge.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In our house. So we loved when Jane Wyland showed up. We literally said, "That's Jane Wyland." We said it to people who already knew, but we still did it every time.
Well, I remember like people being like, you know, she's in a band, but then like they didn't know what band it was because I was from Texas and
really?
We're all stupid. So, I mean,
We Got the Beat was the first pop song
oh,
that I ever
I
like.
I fully
loved.
Know who the
like,
Go-Go's were. We just didn't know she was from the Go-Go's.
I see.
You know what I mean? So I would say that was a pretty big cheerworthy cameo, and I would say Howard Hessman is a cheerworthy cameo.
I think he's in it too much for a cameo.
Really,
he's in it a little more than we usually think, like one scene.
Oh.
And I think I was thinking of this too, but there's because like there are three different endings and he appears in them in different
times.
Also
in the opening, right?
He is not in the opening, but he
Doesn't
comes
he offer
in earlier
somebody
as
a ride
televangelist.
Oh yeah.
But I also think you could say that Kelly Nakahara, who plays the cook, like she only is in that very first scene and then it's just her corpse.
And I would say Mr. Body, well, I guess he's not really a cameo. I mean, we talk about him a lot, but I don't know. I'm going to just give it a 3 and just walk away.
3.
I'll say 3 as well.
I will also give it a 3. Give it an average of 3. All right, next category, pool trouble.
There's not a swimming pool, but there's a pool table. That's where Yvette gets murdered.
That's true.
Talk about trouble.
In River City.
Yeah.
You know what? For that, I'm giving it a 4.
You just pumped your fist in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will give it a 4 as well.
4. I'll give it a 2. Because it feels like a bit of a stretch, but it's mm-hmm. something. There is also a pool of suspects. All right, next category, sassy best friend. I feel like nobody is anyone's friend here, though. Like, they're all, like, ready to literally stab each other in the back.
Yeah, but what about the informants? They're the best friends of these people, and they're being real sassy by selling their secrets to Mr. Body.
I would
think
say
they're best friends. It's purely transactional.
There is this sort of reveal at the end with Howard Hessman and Michael McKean.
That's true.
Where mm-hmm. he kind of is like, take him away. I'm going to go home and make love to my wife. And mm-hmm. that's
how you know he's not gay anymore, because
exactly.
he's speaking with confidence.
Right. Mm-hmm. So ironically, the sassy best friend is the moment where he reveals he's straight. 2%.
That translates to a 2.
I'll give it a 2 as well.
2. Sure. Why not a 2? All right. Next category. A bold lip.
Oh, 5.
5. What are you basing it on?
Truly, I thought about the lip in every single scene. All of the women have a gorgeous bold lip, and it's mm-hmm. and it's like we've eaten, we've had drinks, we've had a murder, people have gone through dusty corridors, and everyone comes out with a bold red lip.
Great.
5. And
also, wouldn't you say Tim Curry has bold lips? Like, that's
Indeed.
An iconic mouth, you know?
Yeah, I know.
It is. I think he's one of those, a smile you would recognize, like, if you just, you know, cut off mm-hmm. everything
right.
above the nose.
I'm standing by 5.
5.
Because Yvette had a bold lip, too.
Yeah. I'm going to go 4.5.
4.5. I'll go 4. just if we ever do a movie with Joker in it, I gotta have somewhere to go.
Sure.
All right, next category, witches. How would you rate the witches in Clue?
What?
Okay, there's not a ton, but Madeline Kahn's husband does disappear and never reappears. And it's suggested that she had something to do with it.
So she could have, like, cast a spell or something.
Or perhaps some sort of ritual with cutting off his genitals.
A midsummer type situation. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Indeed. Do you mean Midsommar or Midsommar by Shakespeare?
Mm-hmm. That one.
Where the mechanicals came in and
I'm
did.
I'm so familiar with it. Yeah. Puck. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Puck came in. Puck's kind of a witch. I don't know. One.
Yeah, I'll give it a one.
One. I'll also give it a one. All right, next category. On a scale of 0 to 5%, how Korean is Clue?
Y'all get this one? zero.
Well, all right. Kelly Nakahara. Now, hold on. Kelly Nakahara plays the cook. I looked online. She was born in Hawaii, but she is most well known for playing a role in MASH, which was set in the Korean War.
One.
And on MASH TV show, she says specifically that her character is Korean.
One and a
so
half.
I don't know if she herself is Korean. I couldn't find out. But I'm going to give it a two.
A two. I got to give it a zero. I don't think that. For her work on MASH, I don't think translates to her work on Clue.
I'm giving it a one and a half. Is that okay?
I got it.
Okay.
That is, of course, whatever you got to do. Give an average of 1.17. All right. Next category. Felt. Who's right? The felt. Don't worry, Jeff. Felt is still here. Your favorite category.
Well, there's the pool table that has felt on
it. That's true.
Professor Plum's coat when he first arrives. It's a very like sort of like tweed felty kind of coat. I think there's a couple close-ups of Tim Curry where his vest seems sort of felty, or at least fabric that was processed. And since we've learned that felt is a process,
I think
there's actually a bunch of felt in this movie.
Five.
There's a lot of drapes. A lot of sort of.
Five. You've really
fabrics.
Come around, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
On principle.
I'll go four on this one.
Remember on the other one I said, no matter what, I'm always giving this 100? Five.
That's true. I'll also give it a four. All right, next category. Gay actors playing gay roles.
I think this one's a zero, unfortunately.
This is a zero.
Zero.
All right, next category. Themes of mothers.
Colonel Mustard does talk about his mommy and daddy a bunch.
He does. He's like a little boy.
A little war profiteer who wants his parents to love him.
And who can't relate to that?
Oh, yeah. He says he was going to send it to my mother. It would have killed her. Apparently so, since you already told us she was dead. Two and a half.
Two and a half for one sentence mentioning a mother?
He mentions
for
her
themes of mothers?
At least two times.
Is that a theme in the movie, motherhood?
For that character?
Oh.
Motherhood seems to drive
him. I don't know.
A sense of like his relationship with his mom.
It's 11:53 in New York.
It's the city that never sleeps,
Jeff.
It sleeps during Rona, baby. It's never awake during Rona. It's finally catching up on its deficit.
Oh, good. I'm going to give it a one. All right, next category. A feels song. Is there a song in Clue that puts you in your feels?
I mean, it's not the feels like emotional feels, but I was waiting for that Shaboom Shaboom song because I used to sing that with my friends all the time about Clue. And when it came on, I was like, oh, here it is.
So nostalgia.
It's more about nostalgia than it is about like, I'm really feeling it.
And on its own, Shaboom Shaboom doesn't like move you.
It does now. I tell you, if I heard Shaboom Shaboom, I would think about watching Clue with my neighbors, all the kids in my neighborhood. And also being like, gay. If they mentioned the word gay, that's what I would do.
If they mentioned they're going to do A to B and then figure out I'm gay.
A to A, honey.
A to A. A to hang. It's 11:54. Two.
Sure, I'll give it two as well.
Shaboom Shaboom put you in your feels?
Yeah, I feel excited. I'm like, oh yeah, we're going to do it. I'm going to make out with a chorus.
I was dancing to Shake, Rattle, and Roll too, but whatever. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it a one for feel song. I like them, but it's like a sugar blast. All right, next category, gossip. How gossipy is Clue? It's pretty gossipy.
I think you got to go five on this. It's all about like blackmail and
knowing
each other's secrets.
Yeah, five. Mm-hmm. I'm convinced.
I will also give it a five. Finally, Jeff, we are in the home stretch. Mm. This is all or nothing. 15% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality.
This is sort of interesting.
Yeah, we can. There's a conversation to be had with this one.
We'll find out.
Because
I think Michael McKean, it's interesting in that like he is a straight actor playing this part, which we're supposed to believe is gay for most of the movie. And I think it has aged well. I don't think there's anything about Michael McKean's performance that is cringy or feels like needs to be changed or they should be embarrassed by.
But everyone does like have a wave of disgust when they mention it. Everyone kind of, all the men are kind of like, ugh, like they kind of, there's a little gay panicky.
But he doesn't himself get affected by that.
And the reveal, Plum specifically like cringes and walks away.
Yeah,
but the big thing is in the end, he's not really gay, and it's like this character is redeemed.
Right, it's kind of like a joke.
Yeah, which I remember like as a child being like, because I remember as a kid watching it when I mean not to get too deep or whatever, but
do it. It's almost midnight. Get
I'm
deep.
I'm so tired. But when he stood up and he was like, "I'll say it, I'm gay, and I'm not ashamed of that. I just work for the State Department." I remember as a kid being like, "Oh, he's not ashamed of it." Because inside I was like, I'm profoundly ashamed of it.
But I think he does a great job. I think Michael McKean's performance has aged well. I think it's been.
It does, but I don't think 35
years
and
right.
has a positive.
But I think Michael.
He does, but this is for the movie itself.
I think like he does a good job. I think there's nothing about his performance that we can look back on and be like, that has to change.
True.
And I think especially in the time that it was made, I think that, I don't know. I think this movie is... I think it could earn it.
His Best in Show character is way swishier, like stereotypically swishier. I'm going to give it a...
Well, this is all or nothing.
No, this
we
is an
agree.
All or nothing.
Oh, sorry.
So I don't think it does, because I think I hear what you're saying. Like Michael McKean's performance is good, and the character is like presented as very competent and doesn't seem tortured. But then in the end, he's not even gay, and then also there is like the cringy gay panic that's played for laughs. So all that, and also it doesn't play into the rest of the movie ever really. They kind of mention at the beginning, never mention it again that much until the end. So, I can't say this is like, oh, this is a great representation of homosexuality.
But I don't think there's anything cringy or embarrassing about
it. No,
but
that's not, we're not taking points away. I'm just saying, I don't think it earns the bonus. Mm-hmm.
I hear you, John, but I do think the fact that, like, at the end of the movie that he says, I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife. It is like, see, I was the hero all along. You thought I was just a fucking gross homo, and so I have to say no.
Well, fair enough.
Valiant effort, John. All right, finally, negative 50% if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, so it will not lose 50% of its points.
All right, so
I saw that movie in the theater.
I've never seen it.
Don't.
Boat Trip. We probably will next year.
I'm sure.
We'll have you back, Jeff. All right. So, well, how do you think you did?
How do you think this movie did?
I think it did okay. I don't know. I don't know math. It's hard.
It's okay.
It's almost midnight in New York City. Midnight in New York City. All right. Well, I will tell you how we did. Well, out of a total possible 2,568.01 points. Clue has scored 2,131.34, giving it a percentage of 83, making it the second gayest movie ever.
Yeah,
not as
baby.
Gay as Female Trouble, but gayer than Grease 2.
You're kidding!
Yeah. Pretty good.
Well, Grease 2 has a 79.51, Clue is 83, then Female Trouble is 94.83.
Oh, I love Grease 2.
Do you like it better than Grease?
Oh yeah.
So do I.
What is wrong with you? No, Grease is so much better.
I agree, it's better, but it's just so campy.
Sometimes you don't want a movie to be better. You know what I mean? Sometimes you want a movie to be trash.
Sometimes you want to eat garbage.
I'll be your
sometimes
girl you do. Why do you think McDonald's exists? Seasons. Mm-hmm. Let's bowl. Let's bowl. Let's rock and roll.
I think if Grease 2 didn't end on two ballads, it would be a it would that's have a stronger true. Contention to be a better movie.
I did always fast forward through the like the ballad in yeah. in the fog when he's in the motorcycle yeah. outfit. I did fast forward that.
It's like Turn Back the Hands of Time or something stupid like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jeff, thank you so much for coming
Thanks
out of
Thanks so
your
much for coming back
and
staying late.
Wait, I thought I got to add a category. No, that doesn't happen anymore.
We did that as a group because we you did didn't pick this movie, Jeff. John did.
I forgot about it.
We went
That's
over
not
that
to say it was
so
a bad
ago.
Category. I'm just so tired.
Jeff, is there anything you would like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
No. Oh, you know what? You know what? When is this coming out?
Third week of
the
August.
Third week in August.
Well, if it comes out before August 14th.
No, it's coming out the 19th.
Okay, then I don't have anything to plug.
What happens on the 14th?
Yeah, what are you doing on the 14th?
I'm doing a show of Justin Sayers called When Sunny Went Blue on the Dynasty Typewriter Network or whatever website.
Oh, nice.
That sounds fun.
Yeah,
that's
well,
great.
It happened 3 or 4 days ago.
I hope it was fun. Maybe if they go to your Instagram or Twitter, they can see some fun photos of it happening. Of
I have to tell
in
you,
their living rooms.
The pandemic forced me off of social media and I'm no longer on social media, so you cannot go to anything.
Good for you.
Yeah,
we support you. Well, then look up in playbill.com.
Hillertime.com. I have a website.
Hillertime. There we
oh,
go.
Oh, nice.
It's updated at least annually.
Fair enough. Everyone bookmark that. Make it set his homepage. Jeff, thank you so much. Always
Thanks
a
so much.
Delight.
Thank you.
And
we'll be
right back.
We're back.
Beautiful harmonies. Wow.
Beautiful, beautiful vibrato. Well, thank you, Celia, for pitching that movie.
Thank you, Celia. It's iconic, I would say.
I think so, definitely.
Over how many other slapsticky murder mysteries are there?
There's a handful. There's Murder by Death, Pink Panther.
I feel like this was
Yeah,
so
I do
many
love this movie.
Go on.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say there are like the things that had like it didn't come up, but like did it age well? There were things like Mr. Plum, Professor Plum's a little too lecherous. Like that's like, all right, you're just being a creep. Like that's one thing sure. that probably hasn't aged very well. But everything else is like pretty. I mean, it's also predominantly a white cast, too. But like right. that was the time people were stupid.
Right. Well, I mean, stupid. I also think it weirdly has like the benefit of like when a movie is. Like is a period piece in and of itself because like technically this movie does not like the movie came out in 85 but the movie is set in like I think 53 yeah. or 54 New England, so there's something about that which allows it, which I think helps with it not aging poorly, you know what I mean? Like if you're doing a movie that's supposed to like reflect the time that it's come out and like what people think and how they feel, then that could very or how they talk or how they, you know what I mean, that if you're making a movie that's trying to capture a moment, the current moment, it lends itself to aging poorly.
Did you think
as opposed
Clue
to something
was trying
that's
to
like,
capture the moment of the
No, exactly. That's my point is that it wasn't in a way that like a lot of
oh,
other
yeah,
movies
yeah, sure.
are. You know what I mean? Like it's not trying to be like this is a people today.
Right.
So because of that, it avoids aging poorly, I think usually. I think there's a lot of pitfalls it avoids in that way.
Sure.
Any movie.
It's a classic movie. I own it I had owned it already on Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
So I was ready
Is
to
Is there
watch
something
it.
As special and fun on the Blu-ray?
You know what? It's so offensive. The special features are alternate endings. I'm like, no. Those are canon.
That's on the DVD.
The text.
Yeah, that's part of the movie.
That is the text. Those are not special feature. You could choose to watch it with a random ending. I'm like, who would do that? I only know this movie with the three endings. Like, why would I? And Funny. Also, the last one's the best one when they all did it. Like, that's the
I
most
that
satisfying
the best
one.
Yeah, I think Miss Scarlet is a good one. I think the Miss Peacock one is sort of like, okay, I guess.
It is fun to see a fourth different ending. Side of Mrs. Peacock, though, because then she's like, all of her anxiety is away and like she's totally in control.
Mm-hmm. There was a fourth ending where Wadsworth killed everybody, but they never shot it.
Fair enough. Well, and yet it's the second gayest movie of all time.
Wow, look at that.
Thank you, Celia.
Thank you, Celia. That was great. Yeah, so if you guys want to email us any thoughts or suggestions, you can do so at twooldqueens, that's T-W-O, oldqueens, at gmail.com. As you can see, your voices are heard.
They are heard. You are seen. Mm-hmm. And follow us on Twitter and Instagram at twooldqueens, T-W-O, oldqueens. Follow me on Letterboxd, at Mark Rennie, where I maintain the current rankings of the gayest movie ever. And also, within the next couple of weeks, we're going to be updating the scoring system once again, maybe about 25% different. We'll be taking things, newer categories off the wheel.
Shuffling some categories
wall. Mm-hmm. Yeah, taking some on the wheel from bonus. Like, just, it's not going to be made. It's not going to be a huge reinvention of the wheel, literally. But
exactly.
It's just going to keep it fresh.
Shuffling
keep
stuff
fresh.
Around, keep it fresh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so let us know.
Yeah, so let
us
know if there's categories you love, you want to hear more often, you're sick of, whatever, let us know. And again, you are heard, you are seen, you're a part of this process.
We have nothing else to do.
Yeah, and since you have nothing else, you can rate us on iTunes. That's always good. You know how to do all that fun stuff.
Absolutely. But we'll see you next week when it's the last of Queen's Choice. It's my pick. Mm-hmm. I guarantee it will not do as well as Clue, but it's a movie near and dear to my heart. Alien Covenant. So
okay,
it's my favorite film franchise.
You think this is the gayest of the aliens?
Possibly. Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Now that you mention it, yes.
All right. Excellent.
So there we go.
Well, we'll find out next week.
We'll find out. And
Alrighty.
So next time,
goodbye.
For she's a jolly good fellow. For she's a jolly good fellow.
Nobody
for she's
can
a jolly
deny.
Good fellow.
Nobody can deny.
But nobody can deny. Can deny. All right.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Connie Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Archer and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Bye. We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.